You're now listening to The Brian Callen Show, considered the hottest podcast in the universe. Now get ready for the heat. Here's Brian Callen.
Well, you're listening to The Brian Callen Show, ladies and gentlemen, and we have Jessime Peluso. I know it's Jessie May, but when you have a last name like Peluso, your real name should be Jessime.
You have to zhuzh it up.
Jessime Peluso.
I think that's how I want my name to be said every time now.
I know.
Jessime.
Of course, when I talk like this, because you are too beautiful for me, it's very difficult for me to look at you, because when I look at you, my heart, it makes like...
Your heart?
My heart.
I explode your heart? I think that's like a heart attack, so maybe you just have a bad diet.
Yes, you make me die. You are like cholesterol.
So I'm a cheeseburger, okay.
Jessie May.
Brian Callen.
So you do the Girl Code, which has a huge female following.
So huge, you would just sweep up.
Well, I get bromanced.
Oh,
so
yeah,
if
yeah,
I
you
liked,
do.
If I liked
that.
Having sex with guys that look like me, I would do really well. But you get girlmanced by, 22-year-old girls.
Girl, that's. I told you last night. If I were a male comic, it would just be,
yeah.
It would be incredible. Girls want to marry me. They want to like scissor.
They want to have sex.
Clam
with you?
To clam. They just want to lock it in. And I'm not even slightly interested in women. Mm. I mean, besides like Eva Mendes, but who isn't? She's got a nice mouth.
She's got a strong jaw.
Strong jaw. Full lips.
Yeah.
But all these other girls, I just like. It's weird because they're like, will you marry me? You're my spirit animal. All this. What's spirit animal thing?
I would take such advantage of that.
I know you would.
So you look down at my hands, down my pants, like, what is going on with him?
I should do a set and then you come out afterwards and just wear a blonde wig.
I don't like 22-year-old. I always say, as I get older, the girls in their 20s are not what get me going. I'll go with somebody, a girl in her 30s, even 40s, who takes care of herself. I just have more in common with a woman like that.
I can see that. Girls in their 20s are, it's a lot. It's a lot involved.
Yeah, it's just they're figuring it out and they're going through their own thing. Then I feel like I have to take care of them, or I feel like I have to, I don't know, it's just different.
Wash them.
Yeah, they call me daddy. It's hot. I'm just creepy. As you get older, you can't be horny. You just turn corny, becomes creepy.
Horny becomes creepy.
Yeah. I was thinking about that the other day. As a guy, you can, as you get older, you can say like things like, "I'm tired, man," or, "I'm hungry," or, "I'm frustrated." But you can't be like, "I'm horny."
It's just, well, not the way you say it. The way you say everything, you can
like
even
I'm
say you like you're hungry. Like the way you say you're hungry just makes it's uncomfortable.
Sounds
it makes
like I'm horny.
Everybody
it sounds like I'm horny when I say I'm hungry.
I want to eat a sandwich. My name's Brian Callen.
I want a sandwich. I want to put my mouth on a sandwich. Make me a sandwich with your girl hands.
Avocado.
How'd you get Girl Code?
I auditioned.
Really?
Yeah. I auditioned for MTV for like a year.
You do stand-up, right?
I do stand-up. I'm doing stand-up for like 6 years.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Charlotte Comedy Zone the weekend after Christmas.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. And then...
I've never done the Charlotte.
I haven't
shot
either.
A movie there.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, but it's a good place.
I love Charlotte.
I'm going to be in Tempe, by the way, everybody, this weekend.
Ooh, Tempe
Thursday,
Improv?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yes, the Tempe Improv.
I'm going to be there as well. Not this weekend.
You should come and do a set this weekend.
I am off this weekend.
Well, if you had any decency...
Will you make me a sandwich?
You would come down. I'd make you a sandwich with my man hands. You'd come down and get and feature for me. I'll kick the feature out.
I'll wear a frog suit.
Yeah. Everybody, this is Jessime doing stand-up. You can. You have an open invite if you want to come down.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
Yeah.
I feel like I won't survive.
No, you wouldn't.
No. I witnessed you and a man slapboxing, like shadow slapboxing.
That got you going. You and your gay friend got a little turned on.
Me and my gay friend were like, this is like the new... porn, like just two straight guys bonding non-verbally with like aggravated hand gestures to the face.
Yeah. Well, he was a fighter.
He was fighting your face. He was fighting. He was punching your aura.
Yeah. He came. It's so funny because I'd done stand up and then he came up to me right after the show. He was at the show and he goes, "Dude, you trained? Did you train? I know you trained."
He beelined for you.
I was like, "Yeah, I did some training." He goes, "Yeah, me too, man. I'm a fighter. I'm kickboxer." He said he's a registered kickboxer. I never heard that. It's weird. But then we started kind of moving around. But
kind
I know
of.
That you,
guys
and,
really
you
got
and your.
Into it.
Well, he was my younger, better looking brother.
He looked like, he looked like you thrown into a dryer. Yeah, he was like a, you
With
know.
A bigger, better, younger, handsome, you know, shaved head.
A little eager. You're more, you're settled, kind of.
I'm older.
Yeah, you're an old man.
That's what's good about getting older. At 46, you get more settled.
Yeah, you get more settled, even though you're a firecracker. Yeah. You're like a settled firecracker.
Yeah. I probably have a lot of, well, I said to my friend Joe Rogan, I said, I think I have a lot of testosterone. He goes, no, you don't, dude. You're just a pervert. I was like, I don't like that. I like thinking that I have a lot of testosterone. It sounds more manly. Pervert sounds like I should be combing to high school. And where are you from?
Syracuse. Syracuse, New York. You don't hear it in my accent? Do you know upstate?
I don't hear it.
Well, I've, you know, kind of worked on.
Actually, maybe I do.
Making it less the forefront of my conversation, but.
Yeah.
It's there. It comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a twang.
I do now. Now I'm listening to you speak and I'm saying.
Yeah. When I say it, people are like, oh yeah, there it is.
I almost went to Syracuse.
University.
Well, I was a wrestler and they have a great wrestling program there.
Yes, they
do.
And
I remember thinking to myself, I could go to Syracuse and try to wrestle there and get the shit kicked out of me for at least the first 2 years because they were great wrestlers and also suck weight in the wintertime in upstate New York.
Oh, my God.
So I'd be walking around like the skinny wrestler in the cold. Nah.
Yeah, it's the worst place to be skinny.
Yeah.
It's like homicidal winters up there.
Yeah, it's horrible, right?
Horrific. People just, their face just hardens and they just have this like Clint Eastwood scowl. Oh, all.
I know. I went to school up in Massachusetts. Speaking of skinny, you're skinny, but you've got a world class. Let's just call it what it is. You got a world class booty. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that. I like to acknowledge when people clearly not only have that, but you clearly work out and stay in shape.
I do. I like to work out. I have, you know, excess energy.
Yeah,
and it's either that or, you know, cause street fights with elderly people, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather do weighted squats and punch grandma.
Wait, I liked you right away when, this is what
I... Oh, when I texted
you. This is what I like about you. This is when I knew I thought you were great, because this is, I really appreciate this from a woman, because you're a good looking woman, you're not at all, I guess, affected by that. I get this text, I don't even know you. Show me your tits. And I was like, I thought you were some a-hole. So I was like, nope. And open. And you go, then I get this next question. How much does a polar bear weigh? I was like, well, I'm not answering this idiot. I'm not answering some dude. I probably gave him my number like on the road because he wanted to come to a show. I'm not answering this. I get these messages all the time because I give my number out to way too many people.
I figured you did, and that's why I did it. I'm like, there's no way. Even though 5 minutes prior to this, you'd given me your number.
Yeah.
I figured your wild, rapid-fire, erratic brain wouldn't connect the two.
I couldn't figure it out. And then you said, it's just me, I'm a dork.
That's a pickup line that the executive producer of Girl Code uses, and it's my favorite thing, because he's such a dork. He goes up to a girl and he says, how much does a polar bear weigh?
I know the answer.
What's the answer?
The answer is...
What's your answer that you said? You ruined the pickup line. You gave me like a National Geographic... response.
No, what I didn't. I said to you, I said, I was like, ha ha ha. I was like, who the hell or whatever. And I just said, a blue whale's heart weighs 1,500 pounds.
Yeah, you spit off some.
And then I sent you a picture of a really good looking farm boy right, with his shirt off. And I go, and these aren't my tits, but mine look exactly like this. And that's how we started. And then you said something about his hair because he had curly hair.
He had pube hair. He had a
sweet
pube fro.
Pube fro. And I said, yeah, my hair is a lot thinner and more straw-like. It's also mouse brown. But I got a super personality. And you wrote, I got knock knees and a hemorrhoid. And I've named Michael Phelps. I think you said I fucked Michael Phelps.
No, I named my hemorrhoid Michael Phelps.
Oh, that I named Michael Phelps. That's hilarious.
Because he's perched on my butthole like he's perched on the edge of a pool ready to win a gold medal.
I'll lance it for you. I have my lancing kit.
Oh my God, if you had a lancing kit, I would let you lance it right now.
Would you?
Yeah, totally.
You don't have a hemorrhoid?
He comes once in a while. He's like an absentee father. Shows up, leaves, and leaves blood behind.
That's so funny. He's like an absentee alcoholic father.
Yeah, he shows up and he's like bleeding.
You have to say that on stage.
I will.
I get a recurring hemorrhoid and just wait for people. It's like an absentee father. An absentee drunk father who shows up.
I'm going to. I'm going to start that on stage.
I'm
going to
take a look at it after this, but as your friend.
Okay. As my fan?
Just as your friend and your fan. And your fan.
I don't want any of my fans look at my hemorrhoid.
Your fans should not know you have a hemorrhoid. She's kidding. Here, let me look at it. Whoa, look at that. That looks like a pink starfish to me.
That's Michael Phelps.
That looks like...
Somebody get that hemorrhoid a joint.
There he is. It's got short legs, but a long torso.
Got a big mouth.
Yeah,
lots of teeth on that hemorrhoid.
That guy's got a big mouth.
Wow, that big mouth.
Do you find him attractive?
No.
Who do you find? Who? If you could sleep with one guy, three guys in the world, who would they be? Besides Brian,
Gene Wilder, like in the seven, like Gene Wilder in his hiatus. Oh my God, total babe.
I love you for that.
Crazy Jufro.
I love you for
that.
Big
blue eyes, comedic timing like no other.
The best. One of the greatest.
I have this a Gene Wilder quote on my arm. It's a tattoo. Well, it's, you know, a quote from a movie he was in. It's a hold your breath, make a wish, count to three, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
Oh, that's from Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. It's not his. Oh my God. He didn't say it, you know. And then my necklace says Wilder on it.
Holy shit. You love Gene Wilder. I haven't heard his name in a long time, and he is a giant.
Oh, God.
He's a comedic and, by the way, dramatic.
Dramatic actor.
He's
the greatest actor.
He's one of the great actors of all time.
He really is one of the great actors
of all time.
Yeah. I just fell in love with him.
Do you know, I think it was, God, who was the actor? Oh, my God. Anyway. The famous actor who was in acting class with him and was watching him in acting class and said, I just thought he was so incredibly talented and it bummed me out because he just looked so ridiculous and there was no way he was going to make it. And it killed him that there was no justice. This incredible virtuoso was never going to get see the light of day.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was Gene Wilder.
Oh,
and,
God.
And we're all better for it.
Yeah, we're all better people because he exists.
Boy, I like you for that.
Yeah, I like Gene Wilder. And then,
you're young. That's not your generation. That's my generation.
No, but, you know, my parents exposed me to all that. Like, my father is a huge comedy
Blazing
fan.
Saddles.
Oh, my God. My dad loves Blazing Saddles. Him and I, my
young
father and I,
Young Frankenstein, greatest movies of all time.
Young Frankenstein, are you kidding me? Cloris Leachman, Terry Garr.
You put an abnormal brain and a 7-foot gorilla. His ability to scream.
Oh, I know. And his hair, I used to love when his hair would go just a little AY. That comb over would come out like electricity.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you mentioned Gene Wilder. I'm so glad. Everybody should know about that guy.
Everybody. And like, I always think about, like, I'm obsessed with death and, like, horror movies and all that. And I always think about, like, people who, when they die, it'll tear a part of my soul. It's Gene Wilder. Like,
I'm that way with Springsteen. I'll take it very seriously.
I'm going to hold your hand when he dies. You have to hold my hand when Gene Wilder dies.
Oh, yeah.
It's so horrible to think like that. But he just, like, shaped so much of, like, my idea of comedy. And
that's amazing. That's a great person to look up to.
That says
a lot about you.
I was in love with him. Still am. I think he's amazing.
I want to get to why you have such a good sense of humor, because it's very rare for a woman, especially one that looks like you, to have your intelligence.
How do I look?
Like a Russian, like a Russian fortune teller. You're a gypsy. Who else?
That comedically, or that I want to bang?
You want to just bang.
You know, who one of the guys on True Blood? I'll take one. Not even with a speaking part. Just someone with hair and shiny teeth.
You like vampires.
Sure. Just the vampire sex is kind of
hot. Long hair. He sucks your blood.
There's no lights are on.
He's undead. He's cold.
He's so cold. I don't have to worry about, like, talking to him afterwards because he just wants to go.
He doesn't give a shit about
you. Go into a box. He doesn't care about me.
No heart. No blood.
No heart. He has no reflection. He doesn't even know who he is.
You're a necrophiliac. It's fantastic. You can get necritis from that.
Oh, God.
All right.
And then...
comes blood, by the way. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Don't go down on it.
Grosser, anyway. You know. Some people are into that.
Ugh.
And I have to have more choice.
I was with a girl one time. We were having this affair, and she was beautiful, and it was in Florida. And she was so, like, she was like... She's like, oh, God, I just love you so much. I just want to drink your blood. I swear to God.
That's a stopper.
Like, I was like, oh, no, that's not where I go. That's weird.
No.
Not into a vampire.
No. Nobody
I never
goes
forgot
there.
That. She was really young. She made a beeline.
What situation did she say? Were you, like, inside of her and she said this? Or, like,
I tell the joke that I was inside of her, but in fact, I was not. The truth is, it was post-coital. And she was just started kissing me. And she's like, I just want to drink your blood. I don't know what it is.
Oh, boy.
And I was like,
you're like,
you're
that's illegal.
Me. She saw me on stage and she made a beeline and was right in my face. There was no question. She was just like, she just looked at me. The first thing she said, she goes, you're so hot. You're so hot.
Oh,
you're
God.
So hot.
That makes me cringe a little.
I know. But I was single and I'm a dirty, disgusting
capuchin.
You're
like, capuchin. You bet your ass I am.
I'm a crouching capuchin
you
monkey.
You are. Listen, you're literally an over... sexed capuchin monkey.
I'm a shit-throwing, masturbating capuchin monkey.
That humps frogs.
You know, I am, if I was a girl, I'm disgusting. I always look at my wife, I'm like, how do you even look at me? Because I'm disgusting. And but listen, women don't
care. She must love you.
I guess. I guess. I don't even, I wouldn't love me. I'm gross.
Love isn't real.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that.
You, oh, sure.
But wait, before we do that, you where'd you get your sense of humor? How'd you grow up? I mean, you're funny.
Thank you.
Legitimately.
That's nice coming from you. Well, because I think you're hysterical. Actually, like the last seeing you last night was the first time I saw like a full
oh, really?
Set. I mean, I've seen you obviously like in movies and stuff. Yeah. And I know of you and always thought you were funny, but like gutted me. Your dad stuff is just, you're incredible. You're hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in humble upbringings. My parents separated when I was 9.
Really? What did your parents do?
My mom was a teaching assistant. Mm-hmm. And then my father worked 3 different jobs to supplement the money that she wasn't bringing in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you could get along with both your parents?
Yeah. In different ways, absolutely. Yeah.
Big family or small family?
Complicated family. You know, my mom was married to my dad, then he moved out, and then my neighbor's dad moved in.
No.
Yeah. And then...
Oh, boy.
He had a couple of kids, and then, you know, there's just... If I have a boyfriend, and he wants to come over for the holidays, we have to go to 6 different houses. And there's like, you know, my mom's stepdad's sister and my dad's second wife. Like, it's very separated. So
yeah, that's a fragmented. I had a big family. Fragmented, but you know.
Fragmented family. Yeah, I have 45 first cousins on my dad's side.
Well, it's funny to me that whenever I meet somebody interesting with layers, a lot of times they come from a. I don't think there is such a thing as a functional family.
Not that. It's just like the word functional family is the same thing as normal person. It's just an idea that people would like to adhere to.
Which might be boring, by the way.
Of course it's boring.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I just don't think functional family really exists in any sort of aspect of life.
Yeah, I would agree.
Everybody has their issues, and some
especially comics, right?
Yeah, oh my God. That's like the worst stories ever. Hmm. But I was the youngest of everybody.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, like my stepdad had 2 girls and my mom... And my dad had my sister and I, and then my dad had 2 other daughters from a previous marriage. I was the youngest. All girls.
Did you have any idea girl code would be what it is?
No idea. No idea. Because it's like the first successful, like the big bump for me, I had nothing to compare it to. So it's not even I could compare it to really, I mean, I've had tons of failures and rejection, but I've never had anything so big where I can compare it to even understand what that meant.
I mean, how many, you have crazy Twitter following, and I mean, you've got a lot of fans.
Yeah, there's tons of fans. It's crazy.
What do you, I mean, do you get recognized a lot on the street?
Yeah. I was out with Justin yesterday, and like the chefs, I ordered a dessert, and they wrote in like the cream, like the sauce, they wrote like all this like girl code stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it happens all the time. It's great. It's like.
Do you know I've never seen the show?
You haven't?
Because I'm a guy.
You should, you probably, well, I don't know about you because you're a maniac, but you probably could pick up a few tips.
Really?
Yeah, a few tips.
Well, I don't, you know, as I get older, I don't try to come up with the tips. I think what matters most in picking up girls or relating to women is it's one thing to be, you can be flirty and you can be gross even, but don't be humiliating and don't be disrespectful.
Yes.
The difference is I've always been, you know, I'm a flirt and all, but I've always, I like women.
Yeah.
I like women.
You actually like them as like people.
I care. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember when I was younger, my friends would always make fun of me because if I was trying to pick up a girl, I wasn't trying to pick them up. I was trying to get to know them. That was more fun for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever happens after that is all good. But, I think there's a difference. I can always tell men that don't like women. Like, you know, women, a womanizer. It's one thing if you're a womanizer and you love women. It's another thing if you're a womanizer and you don't like women.
Yeah,
and those
kind of
guys I fucking hate.
Yeah.
Because those guys I think are very dangerous.
Of course.
In a group, I think they're cruel and they don't like women.
And it's almost like a disconnect with like...
They're working something out. They're mad at their mom. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't care what it is because I don't like being around it.
I don't either.
Yeah. So my philosophy with young guys is like there's no picking up. If you like a girl, you know it's a really good pickup line. Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
Yeah, just
and then
coming
talk
to her
like you talk to anybody else, like a human being, and
that's
be a silly goose.
That's the best.
Yeah,
any guy who's like funny. But you know, I feel like I had this conversation with a couple of my friends. We were talking about like guy comedians on the road versus girl comedians on the road because I've been doing the road a lot now. And like one of my guy friends is like, oh, dudes just must come up to you and like throw themselves at you, but. It's a different thing for a woman because it's like, I feel like generally guys don't want a woman to be funnier than them or to feel like they need to compete in that sense, because that's kind of like a trick that a guy has in his back pocket.
They also probably a little intimidated. They probably think you're out of reach. You know, if yeah. you're the way you look and you're funny, for them, they're like, you know, whatever. And it's all, I talked to Eliza Schlesinger about this.
Yeah.
Because Eliza's really funny. And, yeah. and Eliza's like, you can't be a girl and pick up. There are always guys around, but you can't. It's just
it's
different.
So, it's so different. It's yeah. like
you're gonna get judged first of all, and
yeah. And I'm still a girl like that, and I know I'm like tough. I guess I come across as tough. I don't know, like people, you know, say that, but I'm still a girl. Like I want to be hunted.
Yeah,
like hunt me.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting at the bar with a drink, hunt me down. Yeah. Hunt me down. Come over. Say whatever.
Yeah. You know? I love that you use the word hunt.
Well, it's essentially
but
it's
so
it is.
True.
It's what it
it's
is.
It's so true.
It's
when
what
you
it
see
is.
Packs of guys out, they're hunting.
They're hunting.
It's a whole organized.
They're hunting.
You know,
they've replaced the spears with horrible pickup lines.
That's right.
And they don't drag the girl by the hair anymore. They you yeah. know slip something in her drink.
Right.
It's all everything's changed. It's just
exactly.
variations of what the original thing
it's
was.
True.
Yeah.
It's true. And if you look at we just had Jared Diamond on the podcast who's did all this study on primitive cultures Aboriginal cultures, and there was always you would raid another village and you would steal their food and steal their women.
Yep,
that's how it is. It's as old as time.
And those women were like, "This is so hot! Oh my god, this is so hot! Oh
I'm being dragged by my hair! Oh my god, I'm gonna
he really have, likes me.
They're gonna make me have sex! Oh my god, I just got turned on at the image of." Aboriginal Papua New Guinea Highlanders
dragging women by their
other's.
Dirty hair with sticks in it. Their dirty hair with kangaroo
sick.
Jizz in it.
There are kangaroos. There are tree kangaroos.
Yeah.
Why would they have kangaroo jizz? I guess the kangaroo they're
yeah.
jerking off from the trees.
Right.
You're sick. You okay. want to be hunted. You like a macho guy.
I like a macho guy, yeah. But the macho guy with like, you know, who's still in man enough to be in touch with that feminine side.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, like what I've realized about myself is I kind of am in tune with both of my, you know, genes, but the chromosomes.
The male and female.
Yeah, I'm in tune, but I feel a little bit more connected to the male side.
Well, you were talking about how you don't believe in love. Why? What do you mean?
You
don't think you'll ever get married?
I don't think I'll ever get married, no. I just have this idea like that love is like nature's reproductive catalyst. It's just the thing that kind of brings two people together to make more.
Have you ever been in love?
Yeah.
You've been obsessed, maybe not in love.
Not really obsessed. I mean, I love John Stamos. Why you just?
I just did a movie. With
I know
John.
You did. It's, I slipped right in there.
He's great.
Him and I, we both have skinny legs. We both hate our skinny legs.
Have
we
you met him? Have you hung
no,
out? Okay.
No. But he's. I mean, everybody knows. Like,
he's a great.
See,
guy.
If you watch Girl Code, you would know. Like, John Stamos is a running thing with. All of the, you know, topics with me. Like, I always talk about John Stamos.
Really?
Yeah, totally. He's a babe.
Yeah, he
Those
is.
Crevasses he has in the sides of his face. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I just want to stick my finger in. I want to put a little jelly in there and lick it out in the morning.
I know. He's like 50. I spent 2 months with him walking around New York City with that guy.
He's great, right?
Well, he's a great guy. I love John. But also just to see, like, women of all ages, just he's universally attractive.
Oh, God, the labias. He's a labia magnet.
He's a labia magnet. And he dressed so well, I'd always be like, he'd show up and I'd be like, dude, what the fuck?
What are you doing?
With like a linen white shirt with like these perfect boots and jeans. I'm like, I know you have a lot of money, but I would try to dress like that. Like I literally changed the way I dressed.
After Stamos?
Yeah, and then I caught myself in the mirror. I was like, I don't have that hair or that olive complexion.
That's
I look
so
a little,
great.
I have too much pink and green
too
in my skin.
Pink.
Fuck this guy. I'll beat him up. Hey, John, I'll beat you up. I hope you're listening.
John, I will aid your wounds, okay? So let Brian beat you up, and I'll just dress your wounds like
And by the way, plays the piano really well, plays the drums really,
of
really
course.
Well. He was sitting down playing the piano and then tapping his foot and just to the song, and I was like, dude, you do that too, huh? You play the piano?
Yeah,
you have musical rhythm?
Oh, you just do that?
Oh, and you're on Broadway and you sing? You're on Broadway
oh, yeah,
and you sing?
Yeah.
Oh, and you play the drums with the Beach Boys? Oh,
it's nice.
Really well?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, and you banged Rebecca Donaldson? Oh, no big deal.
And he's rich as shit. Yeah, I mean, women, the best looking women in the world. He told me to come meet him at a bar and I'd get in there. It's like, it was central casting for the best looking people in the world.
Yeah.
I walked in, I looked like a fucking spore. I'm not terrible looking. I look like a mushroom with feet.
I love that word that you just described yourself as a spore.
A spore. I may as well have been because people were looking at me that way. I mean, it's like the best looking people I've ever seen in my life. I was like, what is this? What is this? And there's John in the middle of it all.
He's a nucleus.
Surrounded by just these la-di-das and these men, good-looking men,
girly
he's
men.
Just, he's at home.
It's like the government was like, let's create the ultimate, like, nucleus of puss.
Yeah.
And then John Stamos came out.
How do you refer to the female genitalia? Pussy.
Puss. I don't like the why. I think puss is a little. It's, you know, casual. Like, we're kind of friends.
You're,
I don't really know you. We don't go into
puss.
Deep. Puss.
What do you?
I call it Lady Biscuit, because everyone wants to eat it, and she's still a lady.
I love that. Yeah. A Lady Biscuit.
Yeah. I only let you eat her in the morning like a biscuit, because she gets a little, you know, a little stale by the evening.
Yeah.
Catch me in the morning. She's freshest. Have a little cup of tea.
And then
we'll
get
watch
down
Full
on,
House reruns, and then we'll go about our day.
I live down there. I live down there.
See, well,
nothing
you
like
do
a lady
little biscuit. Accent.
Well,
do you?
My voice gets,
you love it
my
down
voice
there?
Gets all full of soda.
Yeah.
I live down there.
See, why couldn't you just, if you were just like, I live down there.
No, no way. Now my voice is even, I want to taste some lady biscuit. I'm fucking hungry. Give me some tea. I'm going to get myself some lady biscuit because it's got no gluten.
It's got no gluten-free lady
it's
biscuit.
It's low carb.
Yeah. And then you can lick the jelly out of Stamos's crevasse.
I don't like food on body parts.
I don't either, but it's just a fun thing. Like, if there's a crevasse, there's stick stuff in there.
God, it's so disgusting. The idea of licking any, I'm so straight.
You're straight. Well, I mean, even chocolate sauce? I've never done that. Like, I don't put food on my body. I put that in
a
plate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If a girl wanted me to do it, and, you know,
it's kind of
like,
messy,
right.
I suppose.
Chocolate sauce.
Yeah.
Maybe that'd be good. I could do chocolate.
See? Nutella? Yeah. Who doesn't love Nutella?
Yeah, it's too filling, though. Get a sugar coma in the middle of your...
In the middle.
Lady biscuit. Home.
Go into a sugar coma on my lap.
Have you ever had a guy fall asleep on you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. To snoring. Like, literally. But it's snoring, you know, kind of. The snoring worked because it's like reverberates. If you get him like tucked in there nicely, the snoring can just work as like a vibrator.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's like, you know.
Some girls I know would prefer their vibrator over a man because they got these crazy contraptions.
I'm not into like the whole, my roommate bought me the rabbit thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a weird thing for a roommate to buy a girl, but just, she's like, here, Merry Christmas. Here's a giant purple thing for you to put into your lady biscuit.
Something to hide from the maid and your parents when they come home.
Just this thing. It has the thing, like the ripples, and then there's like lottery
spaceship.
Balls.
It looks like a spaceship.
Yeah, and there's like the lottery balls in there, and then they spin. Like a kid gets in and spins the balls around, and then it whips around. And
bees fly out the other end.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, it's just all this.
Too much.
Too much. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not remodeling the
How
crotch.
Important is size to you? Honestly.
The size is important to the fact that if you're in there, there can't be room for anything else.
Can't be a lot of wiggle room.
We can't also be able to hang up photos.
Push harder. It's like somebody's throwing a hot dog down the hallway. You're almost inside me. It's like a milk dud with hair on it. I'm quoting my late friend, Sam Brown, who I love.
Oh, God.
That's funny,
it
man.
It just has to feel like a very just get in there. Just fill it up.
Yeah. Fill
no
it up.
Breathing room.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dick should die from asphyxiation.
Well, working out keeps you, you know, well, it keeps it snug.
Yeah.
I noticed that. I put up some numbers when I was younger. And women who work out.
Put up some numbers.
Well, athletes are usually very tight.
Yeah, like the whole, even like when you're doing other workouts, you're engaging, you know,
I've always
those
noticed
muscles.
That. Whereas women who don't work out, you know, I mean, it's hard for me because I'm working with such a heavy piece. I just need a girl that doesn't work out. Otherwise,
there it goes.
I need a shoehorn and some butter. I'm grossing myself out. Like, I started laughing at the end of that.
But you're also like itching your ear while you said it. So
no,
like,
I have this thing on the back. I'm like, what is going on with my ear?
You look like a 6-year-old saying
it's like
the
rough
most
skin.
Vile things.
I know, and I'm touching my ear. I should be patting. I should have some butter that I'm rubbing or something. It's so gross.
You should have like a cat that you're petting. There's like all these animals in here. You need like for you to like pet one of the animals.
We are like in a zoo.
I love zoos. I love it. I want to be surrounded by animals.
What kind of animals?
I told you I want llamas.
You do.
Oh, yeah.
They
I want a
good
horse.
Pets.
I'm going to name my horse Chaplin.
Do you ride
yeah,
horses?
I can ride.
Really?
English and Western. You
really?
Bet your butt. Yeah, I'm from upstate. Everyone else did meth. I was horseback riding.
I like it. I like that.
Do you ride? You would be cute on a horse.
I do ride.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Where
my
can
mother
you
made me ride as a kid a lot.
Ah.
So. And in fact, I used to date a girl who was a good rider, and she took me to Malibu where there were these old stunt horses, and this woman always needed her horses ridden. And I've never done this before, but they released all these hound dogs, these dogs, fox hunting dogs.
Yeah.
And we didn't hunt a fox or anything, but I galloped through the Malibu mountains or hills with dogs, baying dogs. I felt like the true aristocrat.
Oh, that's so cool.
And you see parts of Malibu that you've never seen when you're up in the hills on a horse up there. It's so incredible.
Is there like flat? You can like, did you?
Flat.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Mostly trails where you're going up and down. Yeah. And the horses were rugged quarter horses, so we were able to really ride them.
And that's like, you feel like when you're on a horse, it's like there's something. It's a different kind of feeling.
The biggest thing for men with horses, and I'm not a good rider by any stretch of the imagination, but I've gotten away with a lot by just staying really relaxed and letting the horse, basically, just knowing how to use your legs.
Yep.
Don't tug on the reins.
No, you can't overcorrect.
A lot of free rein and just relax.
Yeah, you have to just relax.
Yeah, relax.
Because certain horses, if you overcorrect, they're like, this motherfucker.
No,
nope,
they know. They
doing.
Can feel it.
They can feel it.
Yeah. Well, horseback riding is such a subtle.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
But I feel like with any animal that you domesticate, the corrections tend to be better received when they're subtle.
I was in the
like
UK.
Men as well.
I was in London. And my friend sponsors, what did you say?
Like men as well. Subtle corrections go a long way.
You're right. That's true.
Subtle corrections go a long way.
You're not doing the voice right.
I know I'm not. I'm doing it like not in a.
You sound like you're dying. You sound like you're literally like, subtle corrections. Like somebody's strangling you.
I sound like a Boniva commercial or something. Make sure you take the pill every day.
Stop doing. Make sure you don't smoke. It's really bad for your throat.
That's 2 packs a day. Now I'm breathing out of a tube out of my earlobe.
Stop smoking.
Don't smoke. Also, don't, subtle corrections.
Don't smoke. But subtle corrections. I was in the UK. My buddy sponsors. He made $1 billion, and he sponsors the best horseback rider in the world. The guy who won the badminton trials. And Burley. And so he's an inventor, and he's a real cowboy and an incredible horseback rider. And I watched him ride up close in my friend's ring, and he was kind of training this horse. You don't see him doing anything. It looks like he's literally just sitting still in a chair. You don't see him doing anything.
Yeah.
His hands are just, there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it doesn't look like he's doing anything.
Yeah.
Well, I can do that. No, I can't.
It's difficult. Because
he's doing little things.
Doing little things.
Yeah.
But you also have to have like a relationship with the horse to get that good. Because horses have personalities. You know, they're
yes.
like adolescent children.
Yes.
So they'll act up if they feel like they can.
I'm like an adolescent child.
You are. You're like an adolescent child, definitely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a lot
going
on.
I see you're
wearing
a lot of gold.
Well, yeah. You know, I got some jewels
Gold's
on.
Gold's your color. You have golden skin.
I have golden skin?
Yeah, I think so.
I have a golden ticket as well.
Are you...
That was a Willy Wonka reference. Oh, bringing it all around.
Yes, it was. Now, do you know who wrote Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory?
Well, it's from a book, and it was written by... Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is so bad. Do you know who it was?
No. Not
wait,
Shell.
I plagiarized a poem by Shel Silverstein when I was 8 years old, just so I could meet a local weatherman because I had a crush on him. Okay, wait.
I like that.
Wayne Mahar. Love you, buddy. Creepy Twitter profile picture. Please change
love
it.
That.
Who? Should I know this?
Roland Dahl.
Roland Dahl. D-O-H-L. D-A-H-L,
yeah.
Roland
Dahl.
Yeah.
Roald
yes.
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl, yes.
He's a great writer. I know because my daughter listens to his, all the books, and he's written a lot of books. And it's all about essentially terrible adults who abuse children in a way.
Yeah.
Very dark.
People didn't realize that about Willy Wonka, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't realize
well,
that
she'd
story.
Been reading too much Roald Dahl, and my daughter at 5 was like, Daddy, you have to chop me up. You have to chop me up, and then you have to eat me, but you have to start with my legs. And I was like, all right, I don't like this serial killer game. This is my daughter who's 5, and she wants me to, you know, these kids listen to these things, and she'd been reading too much. She has these books read to her, like on that Books on Tape stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's too dark for my daughter, man.
Yeah, it's
I don't
dark.
Like that. I don't want her coming up to me saying, Daddy, you have to cut my legs off and then eat them. And no, I'm not going to. No.
No, that's not
my. It's not my scene. Guess what, guys? Not my scene. Not in the bag.
Not into it.
Yeah.
Not into it.
Yeah, but he's a great writer, man.
Yeah, dark. Definitely dark. I like dark stuff. I'm into it.
Yeah, so you like horror films?
Love horror films.
What is it?
Do you
women,
like horror films?
No, women love them. They love being scared.
I love being scared. I love it. But I also like really appreciate
I wonder what
a campy
is.
Horror film.
Like what? Give me five horror films scared the shit out of you.
Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Evil Dead.
Oh, okay. So you're a zombie
Exorcist.
Girl. Oh, well, The Exorcist. Yeah. Is number one.
Amazing. And you know, I really liked the remake Dawn of the Dead that came out like 4 years ago, 2006. It was really, really good. Rosemary's Baby was.
Oh my God, is that scary?
I like classic, but you know, I literally will watch all of them. Even the bad ones, there's something special about them. Besides, like, the franchise films, you know, like Freddy and Jason, those are just kind of campy. And Saw, those are just
The Omen. Did you see The Omen?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And all those, like, possession movies.
Yeah.
You know, based on a true story.
Did you see The Conjuring?
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Scared the shit out of me.
Oh, so good. Sam Raimi's awesome. I love Sam Raimi's films, too.
Yeah. My buddy, yeah.
Eli Roth? Oh.
He's good, huh?
That guy, he probably is the best person to make out with.
You think so?
Yeah, just like a dark brain. He'd probably just like eat your face.
You'd make out with him, huh?
Yeah, just because of his movies. I think
you're turned on by a brain. You're not turned on so much by a look.
I don't care about the looks.
Wow.
That doesn't, you know.
Women are amazing that way. Women are not linear. They don't give a shit.
No.
They get turned on by a man's brain.
Yeah. I mean, because it's 9 times out of 10, if you go to a guy who's, you know, aesthetically attractive, you go over there and you're just like, oh, okay. He has no idea what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that's always a bummer when somebody's really smart. I mean, somebody's really physically gifted or whatever, and then they don't know anything.
Nature's balance, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I always used to do that. I'd be like, if I had a girlfriend and, you know, she'd start dating some stud, I'd be like, well, whatever, at least I'm funnier.
But are you like, do you go for looks? Like, is that your thing? Like,
no, I don't think so. I mean, I don't have a type.
Yeah, I don't have a type either.
I mean, I've just like, usually, I think you fall in love with an expression in the eyes. I think sex is very important. And
yeah.
I think you have to be attracted to the person. They have to have, like, I don't like a belly on a girl, or I don't like, you know, huge ankles, whatever. I don't, you know, certain
huge.
Things, just certain things I'm not going to.
You're like,
I'm
I don't
gonna,
have a type, but just no big ankles, no belly.
There are
also
certain
just
things I'm not going to get through. Yeah, they have to have teeth, but they don't have that hair. The other one girl shaved her head.
Brian Callen's aesthetic shopping list.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not picky. I'm not linear. Like, a lot of guys are crazy that way.
Yeah.
But I like enthusiasm, attitude, sex appeal. Some people can just be sexy, man.
I mean, that could be Prince, too. You described Prince and, like...
He's a dwarf.
He's a dwarf.
He's for real a
you
dwarf.
Could, you could, like, manhandle
I've
him,
never
though.
Seen anybody smaller in my life. I stood in a group with him at
how
his party.
Like, how small does he come up to on you?
I'm going
to
say this right now. Without boots... I'm not giving him, he's not breaking 5 feet. I promise you that.
Without boots.
Without boots, I promise you he ain't breaking 5 feet, and he might be 4'10".
Oh my God.
There, I said it.
Without boots.
I mean, he's a tiny little
man. A little guy.
He's a little guy.
Yeah, delicate little thing.
But he's a giant when it comes to, he's just a great musician. He's so unique.
Yeah, he's got to be crazy. Somebody who's that good's got to be off the rocker.
I think what happens when you're famous for that long, and I've spent some time with people like that,
yeah,
is that they get so isolated. They're surrounded by people that rely on them,
yep,
and that tell them what they need to hear. It's just natural. They are kings, mm-hmm, of their realm. They never have to worry about what anything costs. They never really have to worry about those kinds of things. And a lot of, I don't know, I think it must be strange to constantly be on the outside looking in.
Yeah, especially when you came into the world the opposite.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think money is good. You know, money is good because you can travel differently. You can fly first class. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You can have a big, safe car. You don't have to worry about money, and you can worry about other things. And money's a very real worry for most people. It's a very real worry that causes real angst.
And most people won't attain enough to live that comfortable lifestyle.
And you know that the rest of your life. It's exhausting. So to have enough money is huge. You're still going to worry about things. One of the things I notice about really wealthy people, and I'm sure you know some, I certainly know some, and is that they still know they're going to die, and they obsess over their health.
Yeah.
They obsess over food and their health. It's like everything.
They get like crazy about diets and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like the one worry's gone, so you have to like, you know, it's almost like the release of one worry perpetuates another.
Yeah.
Just so you can hang on to something.
That's exactly right. And so that's the trick then, is to kind of look. I think, you know, for me, the idea is to figure out a way to stay engaged for the right reasons and keep inspired. And I think once you figure out where to place your energy, like I stand up for me isn't even, I swear to God, about the public embrace. After a while, you get to a point you know you're going to make people, like last night, you know, it was very nice, people like you and they come up and, you know, it was really funny. But what's more exciting to me is to do something original. Like when I'm up there doing that stuff, like the stuff about my dad, I'm like, wow, I don't remember writing this, but I'm really excited that it's working.
Was it newer dad stuff that you were doing last
night? Yeah, a lot of that stuff is newer. But it just feels so good when I'm thinking about it and I'm writing it and then it comes together, like, and then I get up on stage and I, you know, you do it. It's, and then you're moving an audience like that. That's what's exciting.
Yeah.
The fact that I wrote it in the first place. I get as much satisfaction when I write something like that and I go, this is going to be great, as when I perform it.
Yeah. Especially like when you perform it first couple times and like the anxiety to not know where your footing's going to land and just kind of like you're literally going along with the audience. Like, I don't really know where this is going to go. And then when it works, like, it's pure elation.
Yeah. There's this intimate communion with yourself, I guess. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can't believe that you can do this.
Yeah.
You know, you mine something out of your own whatever.
Yeah.
You know, something from nothing, right?
Yeah, something from nothing. And, like, there's moments where you go, this takes balls to just get out there and...
I feel that way about great writers, great artists. Like Cormac McCarthy wrote a book called Blood Meridian. And when I read a book like that, or I read Lolita by... Nabokov or something. I don't know. There are books that you can read where I truly can't fathom how deep those people are.
I know.
How they can bring all those different characters to life, and more importantly, how they can bring their thoughts, their actual essence to life, and they're fictional.
Yeah, that's insane.
Ugh.
It's like they create a whole world. Books are like, for me, like how video games are for kids, because video games are so... They're so multi-layered and there's so many dimensions within a video game. I feel like books are like that for the brain. Like there's just, it's a whole world that is just like handed to you from a single person.
Yeah.
It's like, it's...
Do you read a lot?
I do. I used to read all the time. And for me, it's like a habit thing. And I've started to do it a little bit more, but I used to like to read novels. Now I like to read like nonfiction science books.
Really?
Like, yeah, like the last book I read was a book by Mary Roach, and she writes a lot of stuff that has to do with cadavers.
Really?
And it was this whole book about, it was fascinating, it was called Stiff, and it's about what happens, literally the process of decay.
Wow.
And it's so...
That's fucking crazy.
Well, in my mind...
That you would read that, first of all. That's so interesting.
Well, I read it because... Like, my biggest fear is, I mean, it's very cliche, is death. I'm always afraid of but how I'm going to die. And I thought if I educated myself about what happens to the body, like, literally and clinically, the fear wouldn't exist anymore because it's set in stone. Like, this process is what nature has set in stone to happen to everyone's body. Mm-hmm. And if I just looked at it from that aspect, it's like, well, okay, it's not so scary anymore.
If I gave you a choice between being... attacked and eaten by a lion or stabbed to death by a maniac, what would you choose?
Stabbed to death by a maniac.
Really?
Because we're the same species. There's a chance of being able to get myself out of it.
Hmm.
Lion's pure instinct. We can't communicate.
Yeah, you're not
fine. Lion wants
lion.
To eat me. There's
Your
no...
food. And he might start eating you while you're still alive.
Oh, yeah,
happens.
Absolutely.
It's not a good time.
Animals are assholes.
Yeah, they'll just rip your arm off.
Right.
And eat you.
Exactly.
That's got to suck.
Serial killers are just misunderstood.
Well, sociopaths have different brains. They're finding. Yeah, they're just killing you for the enjoyment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I might
choose
the lion.
I feel like the lion just from last night. Well, like you might have a fighting chance because you're dead.
Not a shot. I'd be terrified, but I know. But I think that it'd be such a macho way to die. But not really.
It would be so cool to read. That thing about your dad and the dog. And I was like laughing so hard about the way you described... The way you described being just on the back of your father.
Terrified. And I was 28.
Oh, God, that was the
fucking
best.
Fucking terrified.
So great.
Yeah.
That was really, really funny.
Well, this was fun, man.
This was fun.
We talked for a long time.
Yeah, really.
You're a good interview.
Thank you. You're a good interviewer.
But I knew you'd be a good interview.
You're totally, like, just being really complimentary right now.
Well, you're special.
You're really... Say like, start talking like a girl, and I'll start talking. I'll respond like you.
Okay. So, I'm from Rochester.
I just want to slip it in. I'm going to slip
it
in. Yeah.
You're so bad.
I want to dry hump you. Wanna
that thing is so fucking big. There's
in
no
your
way that's going
so,
near me.
It's so big.
That
it's
looks
folded
like,
in half.
Oh, my God. It belongs on a horse.
I'm going to put it in your ear.
Can
I'm
feed
stick
it
in your ear.
I want to feed it carrots. Does it eat? Does it make noise? It's got to have lungs. It looks like it's breathing. It's breathing. Oh, my
it's
God. It's
mountain lion. It's my mountain lion cock.
Your voice is so hot.
I can't do your voice.
You're the worst. That's the worst Brian Callen impersonation.
I know, it's so bad.
Wait, where can I see you?
Right here.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina, the weekend after Christmas at Comedy Zone. And then I'm in San Francisco at Nob Hill Masonic.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, with
Jesse May Palooza, you guys. Come get some. I will be in Tempe this Thursday when this drops Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come see me. We're going to tear it up this weekend.
Go see him.
Thank you, Jessamine.
Thank you, Brian, Christopher, Callan.
You're welcome, Jessamine, but no sir.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
Stop rubbing your ear.
Why? Because I can't rub you, so I have to rub my ear.
I have something.
Like a little like bump on it.
Oh, that's even worse.
Bother.
We should probably go to the clinic after this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If by clinic you mean. See ya.
You've been listening to The Brian Callan Show. Be sure to visit briancallan.com for information about this episode as well as past and future episodes. You can follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Callan and like him on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Brian Callan Comedy. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.